The Old Testament reading for the Ascension of our Lord is from 2 Kings chapter 2. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this evening's service is the gospel text that was just read from Luke chapter 24. This is Ascension Day, the day when our Lord, 40 days after his resurrection, ascended into heaven. We might ask, so where's Jesus now? A better question would be to ask, so where is Jesus now for you, for me? In tonight's gospel text, Jesus tells us four things. He tells us where he is for us. He tells us what he wants us, his church, to be doing until his return. He tells us that we do this by the power of the Holy Spirit, whom he has promised us. And he also tells us that we live under his blessing as we continually worship, praise, and give thanks to him until he comes again for us. Beginning at verse 44, Jesus said to his disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." It's in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms that Jesus has located himself for you. That's where you can find Jesus. Jesus sort of plays a game of hide and seek, only he's never very good at that game. He's always telling you where he is so that you'll know where to look for him. He's in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. So he says, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you," meaning during his earthly ministry, "that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." The law, the prophets, and the Psalms being the entire scriptures. If we want to understand what the scriptures are all about, we do what I tell my congregation to do. I tell them to put on their Jesus glasses. If you don't have your Jesus glasses on and you read the scripture, you're not going to know what they're all about. You put your Jesus glasses on. Jesus gives us the glasses here. They're about him. They're about his salvation through his cross, his resurrection for our salvation. Everything written about him in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the scriptures must be fulfilled. Everything's about him, and it must be fulfilled. This is what he told his disciples earlier when he said, "I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment." So Jesus went to the cross in fulfillment of the scriptures. He rose again from the dead according to the scriptures, and he also ascended into heaven according to the scriptures. Now, he then says to his disciples, Luke writes, that he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. It takes Jesus to open our minds to understand the scriptures. It takes him to give us those Jesus glasses by which we can see him in the scriptures. Otherwise, by nature, we don't understand the scriptures. St. Paul says that the natural man doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Once our minds were closed to the understanding of the scriptures, even the non-Christian knows how to quote the scriptures, but will never get what they're all about until Jesus opens our minds to them, which he has done through the scriptures themselves, through the proclamation of the word. Specifically, this word in verse 46, when Jesus says to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Here again is the glasses, or the framework, if you will, of what the entire scripture is about. It's a summary. If you read the scriptures with these words in mind, that they're about Christ's suffering, cross, and resurrection, and that all of that was done so that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed, then you've got it. You will understand the scriptures, even though there's parts that still we may not completely understand. At least this keeps us from going off the deep end. It keeps us on the track. So, Christ suffers, he rises again from the dead, and following that work of his, then this proclamation is to be made. The repentance of sin, or the repentance for the forgiveness of sins in his name. Now, repentance is one of those words that can be taken in either a broad or a narrow sense. Sometimes repentance is just used to be in reference to the confession of sins, where the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and the law does its work on us and we confess our sins. But sometimes repentance is taken in a broader sense to include not only the confessions of sins, but also faith in the gospel, faith in the promise of the forgiveness of our sins. So repentance here is taken in a broader sense, that repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and this is just what Jesus and John the Baptist proclaimed. John was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and Jesus too was preaching that people should repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed, announced, made known in his name. In his name. It was by the doing of his name that Jesus makes repentance possible for you and me. We can't come up with repentance ourselves. It takes the Holy Spirit working through the Word to work this repentance in us. The Holy Spirit does his work after Christ, our Lord, has finished his work of achieving our salvation for us on the cross, rising again from the dead, and now ascending into heaven. So the Holy Spirit's work now is that through the proclamation of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, that is, by his command and with his authority, this should be proclaimed to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. The good news is that this proclamation is for all nations, not just for the Jews. It began with the Jews in Jerusalem and then and throughout Judea and Samaria, but then also to the uttermost parts of the world. And we are recipients of that proclamation. Now, this is also something then that you not only will help you when you go to the scriptures and you read the scriptures to find out what are they all about, but it is also something that you should be listening to whenever you go to church, wherever you go, whatever congregation you go to. If you go on a vacation, you visit a church, what you want to be listening for is, in this church, is the proclamation of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name being proclaimed? If you are not hearing this in that church, then you should get out. Leave. Because this is the gospel. This is what is to be being proclaimed. And it's not just to be being proclaimed to non-Christians, but to Christians too. Sometimes Christians get the idea that, oh, this is only supposed to be preached to people who aren't Christians yet. But you and I are still sinners. We still confess our sins. We hear the forgiveness of our sins. This proclamation of repentance for the forgiveness of sins needs to be proclaimed to us too. We need to hear it for ourselves. And then we need to go out into our world in our various vocations and proclaim this message to others. So he says to them, you are witnesses of these things. Well, the apostles were eyewitnesses of Jesus. But so we're not eyewitnesses. We haven't seen Jesus face to face. This was the events of history here. Christ's crucifixion and resurrection occurred 2,000 years ago. But we are witnesses of what our Lord speaks to us in his word. We can communicate, proclaim, announce, deliver that good news to the people that the Lord puts around us. And we do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Not only do we come to faith and repentance through the power of the Holy Spirit, not only do we understand the scriptures according to the power of the Holy Spirit, but we also are his mouthpieces. He gives us the power to proclaim Christ to others. And so Jesus says, "Behold, I'm sending you the promise of my Father upon you." The promise is the Holy Spirit given at Pentecost, and his ministry is to deliver Christ and his gifts to you. So he tells them, "Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." That would happen 10 days later on Pentecost. And that's where the book of Acts begins. Then it says, he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. Now it's the blessing here. It's great to be blessed by the Lord, but the blessing doesn't end with his departure. It says, while he was blessing them. Can you picture this? Jesus has his hands up like this. He's blessing his apostles. And while he's doing that, he is carried up into the cloud into heaven. That means that the blessing never stops. Jesus continued to bless as he was carried away into heaven. That means that you and I now, still today, live under our Lord's blessing. He hasn't stopped blessing. This is a continual, ongoing delivery of his gifts and his grace to you. The fact that he parted from them doesn't mean that he left them. Paul writes that God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. We asked earlier, so where's Jesus now? Well, he's at the Father's right hand. Where's the Father's right hand? Well, the better question to ask there is, where isn't the Father's right hand? And wherever that is, that's where Jesus is. Therefore, Jesus can be everywhere he wants to be. But the better question for that is, where is he for you? He's no longer visibly present, but he hasn't left us. He's where he promises to be. He's where he's put his name, in your baptism, in his word, in the proclamation of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, in his name. Jesus goes with his name. Where you go, he goes, because you carry his name. And he's here tonight with us in his body and blood in this Holy Supper. As a result, the apostles worshiped him, and this is the first time that they worshiped him as their crucified and risen Lord. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, not with sadness, not like Jesus had left them. They were filled with joy, which is what you and I can be filled with tonight. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God, praising him, giving him thanks. So here we are tonight, hearing the proclamation of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name for ourselves. Here we are living under God's blessing in Jesus Christ as we're gathered around the word and the sacraments. Again, some people think repentance is repentance for the forgiveness of sin should only be proclaimed to non-Christians. But again, we can see how we Christians are still sinners from this text, this very text. For example, we don't read the scriptures with our Jesus glasses like we should. We twist them and we get them to say what we want to hear. We don't proclaim Christ as we should. We think that just living a good life or just mentioning his name is proclaiming the gospel, but it isn't. We often act like Jesus has left us, that he's absent, and we fall into despair. And we look for Jesus in places where he's not put himself for us. But the good news is that Jesus blesses sinners who repent with the forgiveness of sins. He was crucified and is risen from the dead for you. He intercedes for you with his blood at the Father's right hand and is with you always in the Word, in your baptism, in the Holy Supper, in holy absolution, to deliver to you his blessings which continue forever. So here he is tonight, in his Word, in his Supper, in his name, crucified, risen, ascended, and coming again to take you to live and reign with him face to face in glory for all eternity with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. His blessing be with you always. Amen.